And I want to slow down just a little bit tonight because I want to make sure I give you, a full dose. And how many of you were here on Sunday? We had a time on Sunday. Thank you. The Holy Ghost is really here. Amen. All right. Let's go to Matthew in chapter, Matthew chapter 11, please. Thanks. Matthew chapter 11. Well, I'm glad to see you out tonight and in a good attitude and so forth. Folks, let me tell you something. You might think that your attitude doesn't have much to do with things, but do you realize, you think about it, the group that was in the wilderness and was murmuring all the time, they couldn't get the best of God. Do you realize that even in your giving, the Bible says in the Amplified, God loves, it says, joyful and hilarious. Do you realize that in the old days, anybody that came before the king, you could not come before the king with a sad countenance? That's why Nehemiah had favor on him, because he had that countenance, and the king asked him what's wrong. But that normally doesn't happen. To come before the king with anything other than a bright countenance many times indicates that somehow you're either trying to disrespect him or manipulate him or something. And it's considered dishonor. And even in the military, I was trained, I don't care what's going on with you. When a superior officer comes in a room, you jump too. Or when you wake up in the morning, ta 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 ta. I mean, you get out there and you have a nice look on your face. You just, bright eyes. I'm only saying that your attitude has a lot to do with what's attracted to you. And the blessings come to you when that attitude is right. You remember when Joseph was in prison and there were two people that apparently had offended a king. I think it was a butcher, a baker, candlestick maker, somebody. But anyway, they got thrown in prison. Remember what Joseph asked him that next morning? He said, why are you so sad? Now, here he was in prison with a rat-infested, wet, smelly place, and he had a good attitude. And I think the thing that affects our attitude is what we see. I think that if you don't see anything, it seems to be that you have no hope. But God didn't leave us without hope. He made it so that we can not look at the things that are seen. Come on now, help me. But it's the things, that are not seen. And no matter what goes on, you can have a good attitude. I mean, answer the phone. There was a program when I was a kid that used to come on. And the name of that program was it's a program where a man would knock at your door and tell you that you just inherited $1 million. The millionaire, that's what it was, the millionaire. And he would knock at your door. So answer your phone like a millionaire. You just be getting a call that somebody just passed that you didn't know that had some money and just left you $1 million. Hello, Mr. Jones? Yes. This is attorney so-and-so. You just had a relative to pass, and they just left you $1 million. Now, wait a minute. You did have a relative that passed.
Yes, sir.
And he left you more than $1 million. Come on now. So you need to answer that phone like it's your time. Am I right about it? Come on now. Receive it. Amen. I got something for you tonight. Don't mess with Bill. Y'all know that song? Don't mess with Bill. La, la, da, da. I leave my Billy alone. Okay, all right. Amen. Praise God. All right, look what it says here. Look, come on, let's get serious. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not been, had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now watch this now. Now get what it's saying there. It's saying that whoever's least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest prophet that existed before the kingdom came. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how great you are. You are in the kingdom. He that is least in the kingdom is greater than this prophet, John the Baptist. Look at verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent do what? They take it by force. All right, let me do this real quick. Now, we're giving you a message of increase here for your giving. But I want you to catch this. When Jesus came into the earth, he came primarily to rescue mankind. That's what he came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But he also came for this purpose. The Son of God was manifested that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Now I want you to see something here. Turn to Mark's Gospel chapter 1, because I'm about to say a couple of things and I don't want you to, I want you to get it right as I see it. This kingdom of God, and I need to do some more teaching on this, but the kingdom of God is not a religion. It is a government. Say, the kingdom of God is a government.
The kingdom of God is a government.
All right. Now, it is the government of God, and it is not a democracy. It is a theocracy, okay? It's one God that rules. Now, what he laid down is something, or something we call commands or commandments. And this Bible serves as our constitution because it informs us of the rights that we have under the government that we're under. Now, Jesus came preaching that government, not religion. There was plenty of religion here when he got here. He didn't come to bring any more religion. He said, I am come that you might have what? Life. Okay? Verse 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what he came preaching. Okay? And saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and what? Believe the gospel. Now, the word repent has to do with, a lot of has to do with our heart and mind, has to do with a change of direction, has to do with us no longer depending on what we were depending on, but now depending on something else, has to do with turnaround, has to do with reverse your actions. It has to do with redoing something. The word re means to go back to the original. So basically what Jesus came to do is bring us back to the garden. He came to get us to repent. Now, in this, he was setting up his government. Now, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Because as he's coming into this earth, there has been a government that's been set up. And it's called the government of the devil. It was the demonic government that was set up in the earth. Now, again, I'm about to say something, and I want you to receive this as a grown-up. God is not the author of the world system. This system that you see out here now, predominantly, that system that has come down through the Babylonian, through the Medo-Persian, through the Greek, through the Romans, so forth, and what we have now. Pretty much, that is the invention of man and Egypt. Now, of course, it has some principles that run according to the kingdom, because that is the only way it can stay together as long as it has. But if you want to get a pure system or government, you have to get it from heaven. And it's the government of God. Say amen to this. Amen. All right, now let's look back at Genesis chapter 10 real quick. I'm going to turn you a couple of places. Genesis chapter 10. And in Genesis chapter 10, he was talking here about the genealogy, talking about the generations of Noah. And he said, verse 1, now these are the generations of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons after the floods. Okay, here is now those sons of Noah. And if you notice here, he has Shem. Shem has to do with Semitic people, or mainly in the Asian nations. Also Ham. Ham has to do with the people of color, black people, and predominantly people in the African nations and so forth. And then Japheth. Japheth has to do with more Caucasian people, European. Now, here is these three people that have been spread throughout the earth. And these people really are the origination of the families of the earth. And he goes into it the next part and talks about it. Now, there's a lot that can be taught on that right there, but I won't do that. I'll just talk about this whole idea of what came from Ham. Verse 8, and Cush begat Nimrod. Nimrod, he began to be the mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. The word before there means against in the Hebrew. So Nimrod was basically a person who was a mighty hunter against the Lord. He was against the principles of God. The enemy was really, at this particular point in time, had used him. And what he did in verse 10, and the beginning of his kingdom was something called what? Babel. Babylon. Have you got it? Hello? I said, have you got it? All right. So Babylon was the original beginning of the kingdom. And that was the image that Daniel saw, or Daniel told the king about when the king had a dream. And he couldn't remember what he dreamed and what that dream was about. And then Daniel came and told him, said, I know what you dreamed. God showed me what you dreamed. You dreamed that there was a statue, and he had a head of gold. And that gold represented Babylon. He had chest and arms of silver. That represented the Medo-Persian kingdom. And next, he had a belly of thigh, brass, and belly and thighs of brass, and then he had legs of iron, and then feet of iron and clay. So each one of those were different kinds of kingdoms. Now, this was just the start of the kingdoms. The kingdoms kept right on, and each one of these sons, he gave 2 days of peace, 2,000 years of peace. And now, if you go all the way over here to Revelation, in Revelation chapter 18, please. Revelation chapter 18, all right? Now you're coming to the year of the church, the time of the church, the seventh year. And this is the year when all these races and all these people are going to come back together, and they're going to be one. Say amen. And remember at the Tower of Babel, he split them up, because he confounded their language and so forth. And even in Africa today, you have one tribe here and another tribe down the road 150 miles, and they don't even mix together. Why? They don't even speak the same language. It's something 50 or 60 or 70 dialects right in one whole area, and they don't speak the same language. Bishop Oedipo, who's my very dear friend, and from Africa, and it's interesting. He teaches all in English. He has everybody come and learn English and so forth, putting them on a just kind of one language. Now, I'm not sure the idea behind speaking English. He felt that was the language God told him to speak. And so, but he has just huge numbers of people. As you know, he has one service seats. It's full. It's 55,000 people. And then the next service is getting half full now. So he's having two services on Sunday morning. You know, just to get enough bathrooms for 55,000 people, it's a pretty good thing. So Now look what it says here. Let's go all the way down here. Let's go in verse 1. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is what? Is fallen, and has become the habitations of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, who? My people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached where? Into heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So it's a general feeling that this particular economy is about to come down. It's not going to last much longer. And the idea about it is the system is going to be judged. Now remember what I said, that this the author of this world system was not God. It was the invention of man in Egypt, and it's demonically driven. That's why the enemy can put his people up at the top. He'll put some of the people up at the top and put all the wealth into their hands and so forth. I think it's 10% of the people of the earth own 90% of the wealth of the earth. The others are just working for a living, just trying to make it every day. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, listen, I'm not coming down on people, because once you look at people in this, you get your eyes off the real problem or the real source of the problem. The problem is the devil. We wrestle not against people. We wrestle against the devil. The devil is a problem. Say amen to that. You see, without people really understanding God and having the Holy Spirit, they cannot even tell the voice of the devil. You cannot even discern the voice of the devil. So I'm saying in this, what has happened now, you and I got saved. And once we got saved, turn over to Colossians, please, in Colossians chapter 1. And you're going to have to throw these up on the board real quick, please. Colossians chapter 1. And look at what it says in verses 12 and 13. He says this. Now, if you can't find these scriptures, just write them down, please. Get the tape. Praise God. I'm going to have this particular tape there, too. Hallelujah. Tape ministry and so forth. And verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or that's an old English word for able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who has delivered us from the power of what? Darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Let me ask you, where are you? Where are you? I'm in the kingdom. Now, we know we're in the earth. We know we're in the Midwest. We're in Forest Park, and we're sitting up here at Living Word Christian Center. But where are you really? You're in the kingdom, all right? Now, I won't turn to the scripture, but in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall you say, lo here, lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, it's an invisible kingdom that has come inside of you, and it's an invisible kingdom that you're in. I'm about to go somewhere now. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. The first, turn back one page back. Follow my instructions, just one page back. Look what it says here in verse 20. For our, chapter 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. Somebody have a translation of the word conversation, please shout it out. Citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Say amen to that. Where is your citizenship? You are already a citizen of heaven. Say amen to this. All right. Now, being a citizen of heaven, God has sent you to the earth. And when he sent you to the earth, he gave you a status. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. That's a few doors back to your left. And chapter 5, please. He gave you a status. God sent you here. He calls you a diplomat. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new who? Creature. And that word creature translates new species of being or even new race, something that was never before. Watch this. Old things are passed where? Away. Behold, all things have become what? New. Verse 20. Now then, we are who? Ambassadors for Christ. So you are a who? You are an ambassador. Now, if you know anything about this whole idea of diplomacy. The U.S. has ambassadors, and we sent an ambassador somewhere. Like I went on a vacation down to Bahamas, and there's an ambassador from the U.S. down in the Bahamas. Boy, I tell you, that must be a hard job right there. So anyway, so he in the Bahamas. All right, so now I'm being facetious, of course. And now here is an ambassador. Now, anywhere that ambassador lives called the embassy, it usually will have a fence around it, or in some countries it has a wall around it or whatever. Because inside of that embassy is considered U.S. soil, no matter what country it is in. And we have an embassy in every major country. Now, no matter what country it's in, if I go through those walls, I'm on U.S. soil. And nobody come in there from that country and come in and get me without a diplomatic pass. They cannot do that. So I have something called diplomatic immunity. I can come in those walls and I can stay in there, and that inside of those walls are the laws of my country, not that country. So that is not only U.S. soil in a foreign country, but the laws inside of that wall are the same as my country. You got it? So what I'm saying here is that any attacks on the embassy of that country, that U.S. embassy, is considered an act of war because it is treated just as if the whole U.S. was in there. Got it? It's considered an attack on the nation itself. Now, this is not just for us. This is for any nation who has an embassy in a foreign nation. Now, you follow what I'm saying? A lot of people run to that embassy and get inside those walls, and officials outside can't touch them without going through a whole lot of diplomatic changes to go get them. They can't touch them. So my point to you is that the things inside of those embassy gates and walls is just like it is at home. Amen. Got it? So, you and I, wherever the soles of our feet tread, it's considered embassy. You got it? So understand, this won't come when you're thinking religion. It can only come when you're thinking government. Jesus preached this. Got it? Now, he selected how many disciples at first? How many? 12. He selected 12 disciples. Does anybody know why? Right. 12 is the number of government. 12. Got it? How many tribes of Israel were in 12? Because they were the government of God. So now we represent the government of heaven, the government of God. And everywhere we go is an embassy. So nothing is allowed to come in on us, because if it ever does, it's considered an act of war by heaven. Got it? So no disease can come past that wall. Come on now, watch. No poverty can come past that wall. Nothing can come past that wall, because we have been sent on a mission from God and we represent heaven. Say amen to that. All right, now, I won't go through all of this because it's a lot. But God plants you in places on purpose. So he will give you a desire to go to work for this company. Why? Because that company, you're going to go in there as a person that in many ways looks like them. But really, you are a new creature. This is just your body, but something else is under the hood. Say amen to that. That old engine that you had under that hood ain't there no more. They took that block out and put one of them 402 Hemis in there. Come on. with overhead cams and running up about 650 horses. Speaking in tongue, praise God. All right. Now that job may not pay exactly what you'd like it to pay, but that doesn't make any difference. The reason why is because your paycheck comes from home. Oh Lord, you got quiet on me here. Now, see, all of this comes with a new thinking, a repentance, a renewing of the mind. You cannot no longer think religion. This ain't about religion. Religion don't have any power to it. This is about a government. Say amen to that. All right, so as he sends you, he's going to prosper you there because he's going to raise you up and distinguish you among everybody. Why? Because that's what he promised. Turn back to Genesis chapter 12, please. And you thought you were just here stumbling around somewhere trying to find a job. Come on. I don't care what they're paying. You ain't living off of that salary. Say amen to that. You getting your things from home. Amen. I like what Jesse said. And he said, people ask him, said, Jesse, you on all them TV stations? How do you pay all those bills? He says, simple. I just say, Jesus, you got mail. Woo, boy, I'm telling you, for my God shall supply all your need. I don't care if the need is a vacation. I don't care what it is. But what has happened? God's people, even though they've been in the government of the kingdom, their representatives and ambassadors, even though God is their paymaster, they're still trying to live off their salary. And it's got them in the same condition as the world. Same condition, same complaining, same trying to make it every day, retiring and can't even write a $5,000 check after working for 40 years. Come on now. I'm owing everybody in town. That is not the way he wants us to live. And I guarantee you a lot of that is being like that because the kingdom has not been preached. What's been preached is the Baptist religion, the Methodist religion. Come on now. I ain't talking about none of that. The day is over for that. Jesus came to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. Now, I'm going to make you a great nation. Glory to God. I will what? You. Bless you. I will make your name what? Great. Keep going. And thou shall be a blessing. All right. So who's going to bless you? God. All right. Now turn back to Proverbs. And Proverbs, glory to God, and chapter 10, are you following me so far? No, that wasn't loud enough. Are you following me so far? Look at verse 22. You ready? Read it with me. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, what does the word sorrow mean? It means painful toil. God has taken the toil out of your life. You don't have to toil anymore and struggle anymore, trying to make ends meet and so forth. He's taken that out. Why? Because the blessing of the Lord, it is going to make you rich. Now, what is the blessing? The blessing is an anointing to prosper. The blessing, glory to God, I wrote some things down here. Praise God. They're down here somewhere. Praise the Lord. But the blessing is that anointing God places on your life. Now, he's placed that anointing on you because your needs are met by your giving. See, you're under new laws. You're under the laws of heaven. Turn to Job chapter 37, please. Job, that's before the book of Psalms, which is before the book of Proverbs. Job, that's not Job, that's Job. Job chapter 37. Quickly now. Am I taking you too quickly?
No.
No? Good, good. You're keeping up with me. Say praise the Lord, somebody. All right, look what it said in verse 33. Knoweth thou the ordinances of heaven? He's asking Job this. Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? He's talking to Job. God's talking to Job. Knoweth thou the ordinance of heaven? Let me give you another translation of that, because that might be a little foreign to you. Do you know the laws of the universe and how the heavens influence the earth? He's asking Job this. There are laws of heaven. And one of the laws of heaven that will not change is the law of sowing and reaping. What did Babylon do? Babylon switched it. It switched the sowing and reaping into buying and selling. So now you're under new laws again. You're under the same laws they had in the Garden of Eden. That was sowing and reaping. In other words, you're going to reap just what you sow. And Babylon doesn't want people to know that, because that law, if they knew sowing and reaping, it would draw them closer to God. If they knew just buying and selling, notice it took them away from God. Notice what they did with slaves. They bought them and they sold them. You see, because they were going away from God. But if you go into buying and selling, sowing and reaping, it's going to always take you closer to God. And let me tell you, when I first started out understanding this principle, I was a little skeptical about sowing. So I sowed $3. Praise God. Amen. Let me see if this thing going to work for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying the flesh had been trained on a Babylonian system. And Satan makes it that way so that when Jesus comes into your life, you get born again, but you still stay under his system. He doesn't want you to leave Egypt. But to get out, the violent take it by force. You're going to have to do something that make your flesh real mad. And let me tell you, boom, start sowing. Boom, what does he do? Because the primary reason for God blessing you with abundance is so he can expand his kingdom. Oh, I better say it again. The primary reason for God blessing you with abundance is to expand his kingdom. Let's turn to a couple of places. Let's go to Haggai. Haggai. Now, I ain't got all day for you to find that. You go back to the table of contents and just put something right there. Really, really. You know, don't be trying to fake anybody out thinking you know all this. You're just learning these things. Say amen to that. Amen. It's all right to be humble sometimes and act like you may not know everything that is to know in the world. Say amen to that. The primary reason for God blessing you is so that you can be a blessing. You can expand his kingdom. Look what it says in Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O you, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now you have sown much, but you brought in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. Oh, you're drinking, but you're not filled with drink. Oh, he clothes you, but there's none warm. In other words, you're still lacking some clothes. And he that earneth wages, you bring it home, and it's just like it's got in bags with holes in it. Poor to come home with that check, and man, it's too much month for my money. You know, and so the next thing you know, you complain and say, man, I ain't getting enough money here. You're trying to get that paycheck to do it, see. Watch this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow on it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, that is waste, and you run every man to build his own house. Therefore, the heavens over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from fruit. It's not producing for you. And I call for a drought. That's who's doing it. Upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon all which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and also upon cattle, and upon all your labor of your hands. Oh, why? Because the primary reason for him blessing you is for you to bless his kingdom. The primary reason. And when I woke up to that, folks, everything broke. Everything broke. See, I had me on my mind. That is not what he wants. He wants him to have me on his mind and me to have them on my mind. You see what I'm saying? So I just keep sowing into the airplane fund. I keep sowing every time I sow. But within 24 hours, almost that 500 just come right back. You know, I'm just breaking it up in five and, you know, five at a time. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? So the sowing and reaping is the key. So what happened one time, some people think, you know, they said, Lord, bless those who gave. Praise God. And bless those who wanted to give. Now, just somebody praying about that. Bless those who wanted to give but didn't have nothing to give. Well, now that sounds religious. But in the government, the only way you're going to get blessed is you're going to have to sow a seed. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Come on. Do it right now. That's just the way it is. It is not God trying to hold back on you. It's God saying, I'm going to keep my word. He said, give and it shall be given. He didn't say, if you just stand there and act like you want to give and just think about giving, it shall be given unto you. It won't happen. Your needs are going to be met as an ambassador from heaven by your giving. And the moment you wake up to that, your days of lack are over. Guaranteed, you are coming out of financial captivity. And let me tell you, folks, it is easy to hang around again and get with people who don't do this. And the next thing you know, that same spirit tries to get on you again. Why? Because this giving and receiving is a revelation. And revelation is funny. If you don't use it, you lose it. You better start using it. I won't let it go. How are you in this place right now? I bought the thing, that money we were waiting on, it. We're still short. We had $3 million, but they wanted $5.2 million. Lord, what are we going to do? What am I doing? I'm crying out to the Lord. I'm fasting. Praise God, Lord. Don't make me be embarrassed, Lord. I got all these people, Lord. And see, I'm thinking I'm moving God, oh, Lord, and so forth. What happened? He spoke. This is what he said. Sow $400,000. Lord, the people, Lord. I tell you, the people, Lord. Faith is acting on the word of God. Don't you ever forget it. Nothing happens until you act. And the flesh does not like faith. Because when faith comes on, the flesh goes under. And the flesh wants to have something to say about everything you do. You got to tell the flesh, get thee behind me. I am a new creature. It's something under the hood that is mine. Say amen to that. Come on, give the Lord a praise, because that's it. That's what you came here for. That's what you came here for. Now, I'm not saying he's telling you to sow that much. It may be $10. It's not according to what you give. It's according to what you got left. Many times, when you don't give what God tells you to give, no faith is activated. That's right. It's not your money that moves him. It's your faith that moves him. Right. Are you following what I'm saying? Amen. Y'all with me on this thing? Yes. Now, that's your teaching on increase. Now watch this. You came here not to take sides, but to take over. Watch this now. Watch this. To expand the kingdom, it's going to take money.
That's right.
God says he's going to give you power to get what?
Wealth.
Yeah. You got what I'm saying? Now, the devil knows that. So, he is not going to give you what it takes to defeat him.
All right, come on.
Why would he bless you so much that you can pull his kingdom down? Why would he do that? You in a war against another country, and the other country is going to fund you to whoop them?
No.
Y'all know what I mean by whoop, don't you? Why would the country do that? He's not going to fund you to defeat him.
Right.
He's going to try to keep it from you.
That's right.
Yeah. But when you sow, there is nothing in his arsenal that can stop the law of sowing and reaping from working. Nothing in his arsenal. Nothing. Can't even touch it. The violent what?
Take it
by force. Give the Lord a praise. That's all I got for you. You can get it. You can get it. You can start right now. You can start right now. Say amen to this. Boy, I enjoyed that myself. I said I enjoyed that myself. I feel like going on now. Amen. Now, listen, we're not trying to force anybody to give or whatever. Let me tell you, I had two people, I think, to speak to me in the last few days, said this system is about to go down. What did he say? Come out of it. In other words, you're going to be in the world, but you're not going to be of the world. Change system. The church should have its own economy by now, based on sowing and reaping. Oh, we're going to sell cars. We might sell a house or whatever have you. I understand that. But the bottom line to the way we get advance in our lives is through sowing and reaping. God loves it. I'm telling you. It's a blessing to him. So realize that. Hey, man. Now, I'm going to put that on tape or CD, and you can get it anytime you want to. Sometimes you have to go over it again. But remember, Jesus didn't come to bring religion. There's plenty of that when he got here. But he came to bring a government.
Amen.
All right? Praise God. I feel good about this. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Thank you for the anointing on me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I want you to track along with me tonight because we are going to lay a groundwork here that is guaranteed to be a life changer. I want to talk to you, or desire to talk to you, about the law of faith. The law of faith. Now, what is faith? And we found out that in Hebrews chapter 11, let's turn over there because I'm going to do some teaching here. Hebrews chapter 11. He said in verse 1, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, don't feel in any way left out if you can't find these scriptures as quickly as I speak them. But that's why I wrote them on the board, so that you can, in fact, see them still and then make note of them so you can go home and study. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. There was a time that I was the same way, and I couldn't find, I had put tabs. So, you know, one thing you might want to invest in is tabs. If you're new, tabs. Tabs help to, you know, tab it. And they help you to find. I'm talking about all these things. Now, if you're serious about this, if you're not serious about it, then you can come and don't even bring a Bible. Just sit up here. But I don't encourage you to do that. I've encouraged you to really get it and study the thing, because what this Bible can give you can override any circumstances that can come into your life. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Now, right there, there's an implication. There's an implication that there is something existing that you cannot see, because faith is the evidence of it. And you can't have evidence of something that doesn't exist. Well, maybe you can, but normally you can't. It evidence means that there's something there, but this is the evidence of it. Now, when the thing comes into full manifestation, you don't need any more evidence. So you don't need any faith when faith, what you're believing for, is manifested. You don't need faith anymore. So faith is a substance of things what? Hope for. The word hope means earnestly expected, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Things not seen. So there is something that exists that you can't see. Next verse. For by it, by what? Faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? Word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made, come on, of things which do appear. So the things that we see that God made were not made out of something that was already visible. In other words, you want to build a house. So you go get some bricks and mortar, go get some woods, lumber, so forth and so on, and build it. Well, that's not the way God made things. God made them out of something you couldn't see. Got it? Well, he made the world out of nothing. No, he didn't. Just saying here. He made it out of something you couldn't see, called faith. Faith is a substance. Bricks are matter. They're substance. Faith is a substance. And faith is a substance that God used to create the earth. Oh, boy. Where was the earth? Where were flowers before they were manifested? They were in God. They were in God. They were in God. How did they get out of God? He spoke them. So words are containers. And the words are designed to take things out from its source and bring them into reality into place. Now, who was on the earth, hovering over the earth, waiting for words? The Holy Spirit. Because his job is to manifest the word. God is the originator, Jesus is the word, and the Holy Spirit is a manifester. And all three of these work together as one. Not three gods, it's one God. Okay? Now it goes on down to verse 6. He says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Wow. Isn't that something? So, when we're talking about this, we're talking about faith, and the way that you and I are supposed to live is found in Hebrews chapter 10, the verse before that, and found in Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 35 through 38. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Isn't it something? So the just are going to live how?
By
what? By faith. So the just are going to live by faith. Now, I said something. I said about faith, that faith is a substance, and the just are going to live by it. Now, who are the just? We are. It means those who are justified or washed in the blood of Jesus or made righteous by God. That's us. Now, I won't turn to the scripture, but all men, the Bible says, Paul points out, have not faith. Meaning that people who don't know Christ don't have the kind of faith that you have. Now, what they have is human faith. Now, what is human faith? Human faith is this kind of faith. You come out, you put your key, put the groceries in the car, get in the car, put the key in the ignition, start it, and go. Now, how can you do that? Why didn't you come out and check the car first and see if it would start, and then go back and get the groceries and put them in? Now, maybe somebody's doing that, but why in general, why did you not do that? The reason why is because your experiences told you that the car was going to start, because it started every other time, every time. And so now we just take it, put it in there, and that kind of human faith is built upon some kind of experience that we've had that agrees with our senses, that agrees with our logical mind. That's that kind of faith. This is not that kind of faith. This is a higher faith. This faith is based on no experiences. It's based on the fact that in the natural, it doesn't even seem logical. But that's the kind of faith God has given you. It is the same faith that God used. Now, how did he get that faith to you? Turn to Romans chapter 10, please. Romans chapter 10. Let me know when you get to Romans chapter 10. Mm-hmm. You're there, right? All right, look at Romans chapter 10. Just a minute here. I'm trying to see where my notes are here. Okay. Romans chapter 10, and look what it says here at verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? Well, how shall they believe on him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a who? Preacher. And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elijah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh how? By hearing. Keep going. And hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? And hearing what? All right. How does fear come? And hearing what? Hearing by the words of the who? Of the devil. So faith comes by hearing the word of God, and fear comes by hearing the word of the devil. Now, what will fear do for you? All right. Fear will do for you what you don't want, because as you fear something, the thing that you fear most comes to you. Well, if that'll work for fear, let's turn it around. If I can get faith in my life, the thing that I desire most will come to me. Am I right about it? And folks, I think it's just that easy. I think what has happened is God's people, in many cases, have made it hard. Are you following what I'm saying? And it's not hard. God wants it to be easy for you. So, I've got to hear the word of God. Now, over in Mark chapter 4, he says, take heed what you hear. See, because the measure that you meet is going to be measured back to you. So, if you keep hearing the wrong thing, come on, you'll start getting faith for that. Are you with me? I mean, think about it. People hear the news concerning the weather. Okay? Tomorrow we have a big snow. Okay? Now understand, you and me, we are not ordinary folk. Come on. Do I have to preach this here? We are just not flesh and blood in here. Okay. So God is calling us to do in these last days extraordinary things. Something out of the ordinary. He's calling us to do that. And when we hear the condition of the earth saying, hey, it's about to be a snowstorm, now you know what it's going to do. It's going to snarl traffic. It's going to so forth and so on. Now, I know some folk might like it because, you know, they are that way. But normal people, okay, praise the Lord. I don't mean to offend anybody, but hey, I got something to do. I ain't got time to be trying to shovel snow out of my... Now listen at this. When you and I were born, Our first birth was a natural one. But when we got born again, we got born from the dimension of the supernatural.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That is our normal residence.
Yes. That's right. Amen. Amen.
Are you with me? And in that, when God created Adam, Adam didn't learn. He didn't learn. He got information by revelation. Can I talk? God asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, some one of the prophets, so forth and so on. All right. Now, what is he doing? Guessing. Now, where did guessing come from? It came from learning. It came from the fall. It came from something called trial and error. Are you with me? Now, Adam didn't have any of that because he didn't learn. He just discerned. He didn't receive knowledge by trial and error. He received knowledge by revelation. We call it exact knowledge.
Amen.
Revelation is knowledge of God. Got it? Now, when we have scientists that do experimentation, we're trying to get to a certain formula so we can help people with such and such a disease. Okay. Notice most times today when they do come up with that medication, it has something called what kind of effects? Side effects. And the medication working the proper way with the proper dosage could help people. But the side effects that tell you, now this could cause heart attacks, your kidney could shut down, and so forth. Am I right about it? Now, thank God that they had the mind to want to research and find those things. But you got to realize that was all an approach of mankind trying to fix the problems of the earth in a fallen state. Do you hear what I'm saying? That wasn't where Adam was. See? And he just knew. Just know things. You just know it. Now, I'm going to show you that we're talking about faith. We're still talking about the law of faith. But he just knew it. Now, let's go back. Let's look at the scripture. Let's look at two places. Let's go over to John's Gospel in chapter 7. And then 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Let's go to John first. All right? Open John, chapter 7. Let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In John, chapter 7, and verse 14, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man these letters? Having never learned. Here's what it said in the Living Bible. You ready? How can he know so much when he never went to our schools? Are you with me? Let's go over. Let's go over to Matthew's gospel. I want to go to that first. And chapter 13. The just shall live how?
By faith.
By faith. You have been born from another dimension. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. I'm going to get off of this. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why speakest thou to them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." Now, what is a mystery? All right. Wait a minute. It's knowledge beyond human comprehension. To you, who is you? You have been born again. You are the followers of Christ. It's been given to you to know the mysteries, something beyond anything any PhD in the natural world can know. He's given for you to know beyond that. Lord have mercy, you better come on here. Now, wait a minute. This is important.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Because you don't need to experiment to determine whether something will work or not. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Do you hear me? It's going to be revealed to you. Now, the way you have to get this is by faith. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get you there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You got it? Look what it says here in verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has what? Revealed. Underline the word reveal them to us by his who? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of a man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? That we might what? That we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of who? God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what to him? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. When you are walking in the flesh, when a person's walking in the flesh, they can't discern spiritual things. They can't discern spiritual things. You see, Jesus was out with all these people, and the disciples said, "Let them go back and get something to eat now. They've been with us 3 days." He said, "No, they'll faint in the way." He said, "Why don't you feed them?"
Yeah.
I said, "Wait." And then he said, they said, 200 penny worth, caught counting up their money. That's not enough for them to all have a little. And one of them said this, watch this. There's a lad here. Now he's got 2 fish and 5 loaves. But what is that among so many? What happened there? Just for a moment, he discerned the seed. Do you hear what I'm saying? Just for a moment, see? But think about this. Adam's normal life was discerning. His normal life was revelation. It wasn't information. Information, you need this and you need that, and trying to get to that. Well, let me get some more information for that. Not in Revelation. In Revelation, you're going to go right to the bottom line. The devil's in the details. Now, y'all with me? Now, I'm taking you a step higher now. Just stay with me. I told you these 3 days, we're going to change it. But I got to take it up, because if you're going to go up, I got to get you off the flesh. I got to get you operating on a higher level. Say amen to that. Now, you can discern things, and discerning things and seeing things, and you live by what the just shall live by faith, living by something, a substance of things hoped for and evidence of something that you can't see. Now, faith is acting on the Word of God. See, it's not just important that it be revealed to you. See? But the next step is you've got to act on what was revealed. Because what was revealed is not going to agree with your flesh. So now I've got to not be under the control of my flesh, but I've got to walk in the spirit. I've got to walk in a spiritual reality versus a natural reality. You just stay with me. I'm gonna help make you a millionaire before Friday. Now, you with me so far? Now, let's deal with time. Because the law of faith says part of that is the idea that time is no longer my master. If you allow time, it can be a merciless ruler. Time was not given in this earth to govern you. When you were born again, you were born outside of time. God placed you in time, but not to be ruled by time. Glory to God. Are y'all with me here? The enemy uses time to keep you from faith. Glory to God. Satan's system needs the element of time to make it function as it should. He needs it. Time, if you don't control it, will control you like a tyrant. Time Time seeks to subdue everything and everybody to conform to natural progression. Now, you're going to get what I'm saying in just a minute. And it will imprison anybody that'll conform to it. Jesus came to restore us back to Eden's atmosphere. Back to something called eternal life. So there is a law called time. But if God intended for us to live by the natural law of time, He would never have given us faith. Let me say it again. If God intended for us to live by the natural law of time, He would never have given us faith. Faith is a key to dismantle time. Think about it. Somebody's rent due. What are you asking the people to give you more of? More time. People don't have the money. And give them more time. How about a doctor? He gives somebody something. Give them a diagnosis and so forth. And said, now, normally people with this don't live any longer than a certain amount of time. Notice time now. Now, suppose time no longer told you what to do. Now you think about it. Now what we're waiting on is time. We're waiting on time for the paycheck. Paycheck ain't came yet because it ain't quite that time of the week. But suppose you could regulate time. Suppose you didn't have to wait on time. You better get this. That's what's happening with the glory. People are having meetings and the glory is falling. And all of a sudden, strange things are happening. One man gets up and his pants falls down. He has to grab his pants because he lost 50 pounds sitting there in the meeting. Normally, he would have had to wait on time. You got to see this now, because this is a part of faith, that faith is a higher law than time. As long as faith isn't there, time will rule you. But once faith comes, faith is always right now. It'll bring everything to a halt. Where you would have to wait on the storm to pass, Jesus stopped the storm right now. And he asked them, where is your faith?